There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Jamp, if you recall last week, I asked you a question and you didn't get it quite right. But this week...
I did. I failed.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. This week, it is your chance to redeem yourself. What have we got for the audience right now?
It is a lovely wee review.
Oh, very
Not
nice.
Not an email.
Not an email. Review. Well done. That's it. A little round of applause.
Thank you.
Little square
you.
Of applause, little triangle of applause. They're getting, wait, no, round is less. Never mind. That doesn't make sense. Let's just read out the review. Recently got a job over my summer holidays in college, packing crayons into boxes, and it felt like hours and hours were just passing by. But I found your podcast and saved me so many hours of boredom.
Do you want to try again, Corey? You're just laughing at this review.
Packing crayons into boxes.
Packing crayons. Ridiculous.
Why is that a job?
I mean, obviously it's a job, but I'd never considered
Who's
that. The crayons
you
get in packets were packed.
Like, why? A robot can do that job. No, but we've got robots building cars. Why have we got people packing crayons into boxes? Why has that not been
it's
automated?
It's a human's touch that makes it all the better.
You can really tell. They're the ones that are breaking the crayons.
You can really tell when a robot has packed a packet of crayons.
Yeah. But I find your podcast, and it saved me so many hours of boredom. Absolutely love them. I've been caught laughing to myself and have had a few odd looks. I'm studying biology, chemistry, and maths at A level, and these podcasts have really inspired me to take up more independent research and have really inspired me as to what possibilities the field of science still holds. Thank you, guys.
Amazing.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, thanks. Well, shall we start the show?
Yes.
Yes. Start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp and Luke Cutford.
Hello there.
Hi.
This week, we're talking about LSD-laced bread.
Ooh.
Yeah. That sounds like a fun time.
You guys sound too interested. Oh, where can I get this bread?
Have you brought some in?
Just talking about? Or?
Well, lucky for you, Luke, if you look under your chair, you'll find absolutely nothing. Because that's illegal. No. Have you guys heard of this story at all?
No.
Okay, good. No. So in the 50s, an entire town in France went...
I have heard this story.
Of course you've heard this story.
I have heard this story. Not to ruin it, but is this a story basically where the American government put loads of LSD in a French town?
Trust you to go with the conspiracy angle. That is what we're talking about, but you're not correct.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah, Okay, we'll get into it properly. This is a little teaser for later on, but the American government does come into this one.
Oh, the American government.
So I just come into. I don't know why that.
I was going to say, where do they not come into?
I wanted to make that joke, but I was like, not. I can't set myself. So yeah, in the 50s, an entire town in France went temporarily, insane. Yeah.
A little bit psychotic, maybe.
Quite a lot. But the thing is that we don't necessarily know exactly what caused it, but we've got a few good ideas.
One of which is the American
bad
government.
Idea. No, we've got a few good ideas and a lot more bad ideas. It's obviously ripe for a conspiracy, but I'll tell you what the good idea is now. Do you know what the good idea is, Luke?
The American government.
Okay, no.
That doesn't sound very good to me.
So there is a species of fungus.
Yes.
It's called, there's a species of fungus that causes a fungal disease called ergot. Have you heard of ergot before?
Mm-hmm. No, I've not.
Okay,
Please inform me.
I will. But I just want to say, you've heard of Urquhart, and yet you're going for the American government.
Well, okay, look, the reason I was going for the American government is because I'd heard this story as it was part of a series of trials.
MK Ultra
mind control experiments, which there are other evidences for. There was an agent who was given LSD and jumped out of a window or something. And also one agent tried to slip LSD to his boss or something like that. And basically they were supposedly trying to understand how they could control the mind of their targets, basically.
We should do, I mean, we've spoken about this for over a year now. We should do an episode on MK Ultra at some
point.
Whoever makes the episodes needs to get around to that, because we've been
pick up the pace.
Yeah, we've been
whoever
on that
makes
one.
The episodes.
Yeah, that dunce. So you're right, MK Ultra was quite a big sort of American
mind control experiment.
Yeah, that's it. I could not remember the words. Someone must have controlled my mind. No, it was a big American mind control experiment.
Yeah, they're trying to wipe your mind right now. Like, he knows too much.
They're succeeding.
They're on to us.
It's the 4G radiation. 5G radiation, 5G. Guys. 5G. They're either wiping that from my memory,
yes,
too. But no. the American government did do some mind control stuff, but it may or may not be related to this. You could make up your own mind based on what I tell you soon. So, Urquhart, it's a fungal disease. It's basically a disease that infects cereal grasses. So that's like stuff like rye, and in fact, especially rye. So it stops grains from being produced. It stops viable grains from being produced, and basically kind of replaces the grains with little sort of fungal pods, I guess.
I thought you were going to say LSD.
No.
No grains for you, only LSD.
Okay.
Just a lot of like grasses with little tabs on top.
I can just imagine someone changing their diet, like removing all the cereals and replacing it with LSD.
Cereal.
I'm going cereal free.
Just a single tab and a bowl of milk. It's just such a funny...
It's got to have a little smiley face on it.
So the wind carries the spores of the fungus to sort of the flowers of the grasses that can be infected by it. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And those spores then germinate, which basically just means they sort of sprout, I guess, is the easiest way to describe that. They infect and then kill the ovaries of the plant. So the ovaries are what turn into sort of the fruits of the plant. And in grains, that's the bits that you'd expect the fruit to be. It's the grainy bit. If you've got rye that's infected with Urquhart, there's a sort of yellowish mucus that... that comes out of it, and then it sort of loses starch as the ear stops to grow. An ear of corn, but in this case, it's an ear of rye.
Right,
it's not like a human.
My ear stopped growing.
Just to be abundantly clear, this fungus right now, this fungus is infecting grains, cereal grains, like rye or wheat. I guess I don't know if it can infect wheat, but rye is the one we're talking. Fungus then grows in the ovaries, and then it forms this sort of the easiest way to describe it is kind of like a sac. The head of grain has got
the head of grain.
Yeah, the head
CEO of grain.
CEO of grain.
Can I get through this, please? Come on, guys. You got to work with me here.
Let's have to do one bit.
So the head of grain isn't necessary.
Sorry. The deputy of grain.
So the head of grain can have some infected kernels.
Yeah.
And some non-infected kernels. So just because the Urquhart has infected the grain doesn't mean that every single kernel is going to be gone. So if you think of it like corn, you can have a few dud ones and a few that are just fine. Wait,
does that mean that you might is the point of that you might miss that when you then harvest it and accidentally harvest infected corn?
Yeah, so you can't necessarily, it's not necessarily immediately obvious that that's what's that it's infected, because some of them are fine and some of them aren't.
And that's how you get LSD in your bread.
I mean, more or less. Put LSD in your bread. I mean, that's the easiest way.
Shove some right in there.
Yeah, just pop it.
Just push it in with
just
your finger.
Pour it all over it. Just douse it. Beans on toast? Nah, nah, nah.
Spread
LSD
it on
toast.
Spread it on your toast. Yeah, there you go.
Can't believe it's not butter. So yeah, normally what happens is the ergot will sort of drop off of the ear of corn, or not the ear of corn, of the ear of grain. And then it'll release spores on the ground. So normally what will happen is the ergot will drop to the ground from the ear. Then it'll sit there over winter and make little tiny mushroom sort of bodies.
Wow.
And then those shoot out spores.
Right. Which then infect more.
Which then infects more.
Grains.
Yeah. It's a circle of life or death, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know. Same difference. Anyway, so it's basically sort of the life cycle of this sort of fungus, this mushroom. It infects grain. It drops off the grain. It makes a mushroom. Mushroom makes spores. Spores infect grain. And the cycle starts again.
Beautiful.
Infinite. Infinite spore.
Infinite until everyone dies. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so, but obviously, the life cycle of grain is slightly different if it's being harvested and made into food. Right?
It is different.
It is different, yeah. Do you know what happens?
Chop.
Yeah, it gets chopped. It gets chopped. It could be ground up into flour. That flour can be baked into bread. So if you've got a few dud kernel, if you've got a few sort of the mushrooms, fruit, sort of fruiting body bits in there, then you're going to end up with those being, those contaminating whatever the sort of grain becomes, whether it's flour or something else that grain becomes. I don't. Like, I didn't research grain for this.
Weetabix.
What can grain become?
I was like, it's not going to come up. I don't need to know what grain. Yeah. So basically, ergotism can basically happen. This ergotism is sort of a disease or a disorder, I guess. Not disease. A reaction caused to ingesting too much sort of ergot. Ergot derived sort of chemicals or ergot itself. So interestingly, as you may have already guessed, ergot is the source of lysergic acid, which, if you remember our episode on LSD, is the precursor to LSD.
Right.
Yes. So you can, if you have ergot, you can get lysergic acid, and from that you can make LSD.
Lysergic is the LS in LSD.
Yes. That's
yes. Good. Yeah. Good.
I was checking.
It's all coming together.
I was like,
it's all coming together.
I don't. Know. Yeah. No. It absolutely is. So you can quite easily make LSD from lysergic acid. So if you eat the rye grains that are infected, or if you eat the flour that's made from those, which is basically the same thing, you can get ergotism. And that happens in humans, that can happen in cows, and sheep, it can happen in lots of different things.
And is ergotism basically, like, tripping?
Not necessarily, no.
Right.
My next section is literally called, What is Ergotism?
Great.
So, we'll get there.
But prayers have been answered.
Yes. But first, it's called St. Anthony's Fire as well. You might have heard under that name.
I've not heard this, no.
No? Okay, no. That's fine then. Good.
As in ergotism is called
ergotism could be called St. Anthony's Fire.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I thought you guys might know that. No?
It spreads like... No, it doesn't.
Well, there was some old story of it happening way back at some point. Yeah. I didn't bother to look into it because it's history. This is the side guys.
Boring.
This isn't the history guys.
Yeah.
So what is ergotism?
I don't know. I tried to guess, but you told me I was wrong.
I told you off, didn't I? It was a trick, a cruel trick of mine. So there are different types of ergotisms that have been sort of documented. Two, to be more specific. There's the convulsive type.
And gangrenous.
Wow. Gangrenous.
How did you know that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ah, good one, Luke. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're right. Gangrenous. Do you know why they might be called that?
Because you get gangrene.
Yeah.
And you get convulsions.
Yeah, but which one is which?
Wow.
Gangrenous is when you get convulsions, and convulsion.
I think you might have slipped up there.
Yeah, a little slip up there, man. But
I think there's a clue in the name.
Very close. It was
50-50 chance.
50-50. So yeah, the convulsive type, people have convulsions and also a tingling sensation in the muscles. Kind of like if you're, you know, if your leg goes to sleep. That kind of feeling.
Or like the pins and needles, kind of.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Now
I
static.
Yeah, that kind of, yeah.
I've read that there is a ergotism is a type of serotonin syndrome, or there's some link between those two things. Is that correct?
I haven't read that.
Ah.
That's not to say it's not true. I just haven't seen that. I've not seen it anyway.
I saw something about this once that was like ergotism and serotonin syndrome? And I didn't actually read it. I was like,
I saw two things in a title once. I don't know how that happened.
Related somehow.
It's like you see Boris Johnson and Timothy Chalamet in the, like, you know, in the same newspaper article.
I
you're
swear
like,
they're related.
They must be the same person. They must be related. They must be the same.
Timothy Chalamet, Boris Johnson's son. I saw them standing next to each other one time.
I don't know enough about either of them to say that they're not.
But yeah, true.
All right, guys, leave me alone.
Shall we bully Luke some more?
A little bit, yeah. So, obviously, you've got convulsions and a tingling sensation, and then you can also have some spasms as well. And yeah, I mean, the gangrenous one speaks for itself. You can have things go gangrenous, which basically means they turn green and fall off. Not very nice.
Tasty.
No.
Very much. Imagine eating bread being the cause. And the effect being your limbs turn green and fall off.
Yes, I mean...
I don't want to eat bread suddenly.
You probably don't want to eat bread at all then, I think.
Okay.
Because the chances of your arms falling off are much too high.
True.
By which I mean...
Above 0%. Yeah.
No, I'm joking, of course. Bread is perfectly safe. It's unlikely that you will get ergotism for bread. And it's very unlikely that you'll get it seriously enough that your limbs fall off. I mean, that's such a low chance that I think it's safe to say that everyone listening... we'll be safe from that.
But there is a chance.
Hey, Corey, look, last time you claimed something wouldn't be a problem, it turned into a worldwide pandemic. So, you know.
Simply because I said it wouldn't happen. Yeah. Well, look, in my defense, and I stand by this, the government's handled it badly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been right.
Yeah.
So blame Boris.
Okay.
Boris is the only reason that I'm not correct. So, yeah, you can have hallucinations, and you could potentially die. You can miscarry. Lots of bad things. Nausea, stomach pain, weak blood pressure, faint pulses, cold sweats, low temperatures.
Oh, goodness.
Sort of giddiness and, like hallucinations. So lots of different symptoms.
Giddiness.
Ranging from getting a bit high to...
your limbs falling off and dying.
Yeah, amputation.
Well, no, I mean literally dying.
Yeah. Oh, death.
Yeah, death. Yeah, the big one. The big
Yeah.
That's the biggest side
effect. Can't go back from that, yeah.
It's the most common side effect of anything.
Eventually.
Yeah, I mean, long enough. Breathing oxygen. If you do that, you'll die. I promise you.
We should all just boycott oxygen then.
Yeah, you should.
It's killing us.
Hang on, but then you die from that too. Oh, you're right. It's a side effect of everything.
Catch 22.
Well, actually, here's the thing, right? How do you know that holding your breath is what makes you die? Maybe it's withdrawal symptoms from oxygen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, wait, no, it literally is withdrawal symptoms from oxygen.
That's deep.
So, you guys got a fairly good idea of what ergotism is now, yeah?
Yeah, fairly.
Yeah.
Both types.
All two types,
all of them.
Yeah. So now I'm going to let you know what happened in Pont Saint-Esprit, or as the French would say, Pont Saint-Esprit. I was going to do a French accent, realized I couldn't, and decided to go with it.
Say the same thing again.
You can't stop it if the wheels are in motion. But yeah, it was a bit of a national disaster, although it only happened in this one town, so... Not too national. So on August 16th, 1951, a postman named Leon Armunier, he was doing his rounds in Pont Saint-Esprit, and he suddenly felt very nauseous and had some wild hallucinations. Now, I mean, I'm going to summarize this entire story as one big bad trip.
That's how I actually summarize life, but sure. Every story is that, eventually.
You want to keep that in?
Sure.
This is a quote from him. He says, not from at the time, afterwards. Spoiler, he survived.
It was ruined forever.
He said, it was terrible. He probably said this in French, by the way, so this is probably a translation. He said, it was terrible. I had the sensation of shrinking and shrinking and the fire and the serpents coiling around my arms.
Wow.
Some of my friends tried to get out of the window. They were thrashing wildly, screaming, and the sound of the metal beds and the jumping up and down, the noise was terrible.
Ah.
Yeah, so he fell off his bike. He was taken to the hospital in Avignon, and he was put in a straitjacket, and he was made to share a room with three teenagers who had been chained to their beds so that they didn't get too crazy. So he was in a straitjacket.
As we all know, the best antipsychotic is chains.
Yes, straitjacket.
Applied correctly, chains could be the perfect. Yeah, he was very suddenly hallucinating. He had, he thought he was being eaten by fire or giant plants or big bad beasts.
Was he Mario? Sounds like Super Mario Bros.
Mario was just having a really bad trip.
That's the whole game.
That's literally it, isn't it? God, it's the Mushroom Kingdom as well.
Oh, he does eat mushrooms.
This is a joke that has been going on for obviously a lot longer than this, but wow, it really fits, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nintendo, honestly, bad guys over there. This was quite a widespread thing, as you may have guessed. Leon, our good friend Leon, was not the only recipient of this bad trip.
Oh no!
No, many other people had been affected. They had nausea, stomach pain, sort of all of the things that I had listed before: low temperature, cold sweats, all of that sort of stuff. Mm. And a British medical journal said a state of giddiness persisted, accompanied by abundant sweating and a disagreeable odor.
Mm.
So they were sweaty, smelly, and off their nut, basically.
Fun time.
Yeah. Not fun times. No, absolutely not fun times.
Didn't people die?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's well done, James.
That's not the fun bit.
No, it's not the fun bit.
What you described is quite fun.
Being smelly, sweaty, and
the giddiness. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there were hundreds of victims, and for most of them, that's where it stopped. They were just, just tripping a little bit. They were having a bit of a trip. For some of them, it was a bad trip, but you know, most of them just felt kind of nauseous and a little bit hallucination-y. Hallucination-y? That's a good word. Coined it right now. So that's kind of where it ended for most of them. But then dozens and dozens of people supposedly started getting quite serious. Hallucinations.
Yeah. They attacked their neighbors or something, I think.
Yeah, so there's lots. I've got a few different stories here. So a 60-year-old, I say stories, they're more sentences. a 60-year-old grandmother threw herself against a wall and broke three ribs. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, only three
this
ribs throwing yourself against
anymore.
A wall.
No.
That's not too bad. You could have broke, it could have gone a lot worse. Only three ribs. So it does get worse, though.
Could have gone a lot better.
Yeah, not being spiked. But, you know,
Yeah.
So as far as the situation goes, a lot of people were taken to the local sort of asylum in straitjackets. They couldn't treat them. They couldn't really do anything. They were just kind of locked up there for a bit. Apparently 5 people died, and a lot of those people were seriously ill. But then a little girl, so lots of stories here. A little girl was screaming because she was being chased by tigers. A woman, she wasn't actually being chased by tigers. Before someone misunderstand, imaginary tigers.
She was having a bad day. Hi, and being chased
while
by tigers
all of this was
in real life.
She was being chased by tigers, and everyone was tripping too much to help.
That poor girl.
But the tigers were high as well, so they thought they were chasing. They thought they were being chased by a little girl. So.
They were just running in a circle.
So a woman sobbed about how her kids had been turned into sausages. A man was fighting off sort of animals by smashing up his furniture. A husband and wife were running around chasing each other with knives.
Ah.
They, again,
Mr. and Mrs.
They weren't
Smith?
Tripping. They yeah. just had a bad day.
Just had a end of a bad marriage, I assume.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, yeah.
Yes.
Apparently a dog was chewing on stones until its teeth were basically broken off.
A dog?
The dog?
Yeah.
The dog had some bread?
Yeah, a dog, yeah.
Oh,
and then another reason sad. You shouldn't feed ducks bread, apparently they were marching like penguins. Again, all of these are reports from what...
Lunacy.
Yeah, I mean, these are all just reports, so you can't take it as, the gospel truth.
Thanks.
All of these are just reports, but I'm inclined to believe at least some of them. The ducks marching like penguins...
That seems fairly tame.
Yeah.
If that's the worst thing they did.
Because, I mean, ducks and penguins don't walk all that dissimilarly anyway, do they?
Mm.
You know, they're fairly similar in the way they walk.
Yes.
What's really interesting about this story is that so many of these stories you are describing are of people having, like, by the sounds of it, like photorealistic hallucinations, where they think these things are really going on. And that's not something I'd heard about before. Like, where people are, like, I'm imagining this actual thing and I'm seeing it like rendered by my mind in space. That's a very specific type of hallucination.
I think, okay, put it this way. Usually when people hallucinate, either they're mentally ill and they're aware, and, you know, they're aware of that, or they could be not aware of it, or they're using a drug and they're choosing to hallucinate.
Right.
Mm. Now, if you eat a drug and you don't know you're going to hallucinate, you have to assume that whatever is happening in front of you is actually happening.
Oh wow, yes.
Right? So do you know what I mean? It's like in the same way that you can, if you've say got schizophrenia, and you have hallucinations, you can be unsure of whether they're real or not until you know whether they're real or not. Do you know what I mean?
So you generally know I am prone to hallucinations in this moment, either through a mental illness or through deliberately ingesting something.
Yeah. So whether they're actually photorealistic or not is, I think, beside the point. I think if it's less of, it looks like tigers are chasing me, and I think it would be more a case of I'm having the experience that tigers are chasing me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not discerning because I'm not in a state of mind of questioning because I've not ingested something.
Exactly. So all you've done is have some bread, have some toast in the morning.
Oh, no.
See, I heard the inciting incident of this story be entirely different, which is that, as we said at the start, the US government put a hallucinogen in the water supply of this town.
So that's one of the... I'll get onto that at the end. That's a little sort of...
conspiracy theory.
To sort of test it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, this is also a conspiracy theory. So the reason that this was... the reason that people sort of think this happened, by the way, I'll just quickly cover that, is that effectively there was a whole thing in France with the bread. The French like their bread. Mm. To put it shortly, the French government had something to do with flour. So basically, poorer places, I guess, would get worse flour. Something to do
this
with
is like Colombia with coffee in Colombia.
Yeah.
The Colombian government controlled the central supply of coffee. So the creators of coffee give their coffee to the Colombian government, who then disseminate it amongst the world and the population of Colombia.
Yeah. So I think that's what happened in France with bread, or rather with flour.
Yeah.
Ah.
And the bakers would bake the bread, right. Obviously. So that's what happened with flour. And then I think it basically stopped, and there was a slightly different system where that basically resulted in poorer places generally, getting worse flour. And worse flour could be contaminated with this sort of fungus. And that's one theory as to how it happened. Obviously, there are some holes in it, because obviously, if you're cooking at such a high temperature to make bread, you might make the active compound that's hallucinogenic not be hallucinogenic anymore. It might not survive the oven is the idea. But there are also problems with other theories, but I think this is the prevailing one, really. I guess this is kind of a situation where we don't explicitly 100% know what happened, but we've got a pretty good idea of what might have happened, and we think this is what might have happened. But again, when I was looking this up, there are lots of conflicting ideas, and the US just straight up destroying a town is one of them, which I wouldn't put it past them. Like that's the thing. That's the thing.
Something
they would do. Yeah, I mean, it's something that they do.
Yeah,
just not with French ones anymore.
So yeah, some more things that happened. People were running around wildly, avoiding flames. One man was convinced that snakes were trying to eat his brain, and he jumped out of a window. Another person jumped from a window, broke both legs, stood up, and continued running, supposedly.
Whoa.
Yeah, all of this, all like I can't verify these stories. These are just things that I've heard again. So as I said, there was the postman that we started off with, Leon, who thought that he was shrinking. Someone else was running down a road, saying that he was being chased by bandits with donkey ears. A man tried to walk across a suspension bridge, like the cables of a suspension bridge, because he thought he was a tightrope walker. Another person tried to jump into the river, and his friends apparently saved him, at which point he said, "I'm dead and my head is made of copper and I have snakes in my stomach and they are burning me."
Sad, but also not true.
I mean, well, you don't know that, Luke. Were you in 1951?
Yeah, you're right. I can't prove that his head wasn't made of copper, so...
You're absolutely right. And apparently, this sounds like a really bad trip for everyone involved, but apparently, some people were actually having an all right time.
Aww.
Yeah.
Nice. Good news.
So, this is according to the New York Times. Some people heard heavenly choruses, saw brilliant colors, and the world looked beautiful to them. And apparently, the head of basically a farmer, started writing.
You could say he's the head of corn.
Very good. Well, I was going to say the head of the local farmers co-op, but, he was writing apparently hundreds and hundreds of pages of poetry.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful.
And he quit his job as the head of corn and became a poet. I
mean, yeah, it was Edgar Allan Poe. Okay,
imagine coming down from that, right? Yeah, notorious English writer Edgar Allan Poe. Is he English?
I have no
idea.
He's
not French. I know for a fact he's not French.
It doesn't sound French. The name. I don't know what he sounds like.
I am Edgar Allan Poe.
I am English.
I was gonna make an Edgar Allan Poe reference, but I feel like, would you get it?
No, probably not.
No, you won't.
Go on.
No, I was gonna say,
do it anyway.
Quoth the raven, "Oh, yeah. wee baguettes."
I got the raven
bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I got the raven.
He's drawn with a raven.
He wrote the Raven.
Yes, he did. He also did that.
The CBBC show.
No, that's Raven.
Young warriors.
He's actually from Dundee, same place as me.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Not French.
So you know he's English, then.
He's not. We definitely know he's not French. He's Scottish.
The Raven.
Edgar Allan Poe, creator of the CBBC show Raven.
Yes.
He's from Dundee.
Also creator of not That's French. So Raven and many other Raven themed shows.
He's in Ravenclaw.
He was also partial to high fueled dances with lots of strobe lights. He was always Raven.
Oh, he was always Raven.
Anyone got any more of them anymore?
No.
No? We good? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're all Edgar Allan Poe down.
So Edgar Allan Poe, head of corn of this small French town.
No.
Back to the facts now.
A farmer.
Stop laughing when you drink.
Why? Why would you do that? The worst part is you did it right into the mic. Like, you didn't even try to move. A farmer, or the head of the local farmer co-op, was writing a lot of poetry.
That's the end of the story.
How did we get to Edgar Allan Poe?
So, by the time this had all sort of ended, apparently about 300 people had been affected. And at least 4 people died. I think maybe 4 or 5 people died. Okay, so here is my section, which, Luke, I'm sure you've been waiting for.
The conspiracy section.
It's literally called CIA and LSD?
Yeah.
To answer that question, no. Aww. Well, no. So there are lots of different theories, obviously. People said mercury could be the cause. Fungicide, which is like pesticide. But for fungi, different types of fungus, which I feel like doesn't. If it's a fungus, it's a fungus. Like you don't need to get more specific than that. It's 50. It's like many years on. It's fine. You don't need to. if you think it's a fungus, that's good. Some people said that it was the water that was used to make the bread and not the grain that had been infected.
The water that the CIA filled with LSD, yeah.
Yes, the CIA decided to fill the water with LSD so that it would infect the bread, be in the bread, so that people would get very, very high and they could just see what happened. No, but that to be fair, the CIA could absolutely have done that. And I don't want to rule it out because it's kind of crazy, but America's crazier. So, you know, I could believe it. Mm. But there is a professor, Stephen Kaplan. He published a book in 2008 on this whole thing. And he said that neither of those things could be responsible. It could neither be ergot or LSD. So he said that the ergot contamination wouldn't have just infected one sack of grain from one bakery. He said it would have had to be more widespread. And he said that it couldn't be LSD because of the symptoms that people suffered. Because while they're similar to LSD, they don't quite fit it. So this is just one sort of theory. Mm. He said that also it wouldn't have survived the oven, but it could have been added to the bread after baking. So if it wasn't
by the CIA.
Yeah, by the CIA.
By the CIA.
Men in black coming around with a pipette.
Yeah, so this is the thing. So I just want to put that in there for just for a little bit of contrast, because obviously we've got quite a good idea of what it might have been, the ergot theory, but there are some holes in it. But also, we don't really have any better ones. Other than,
I was going to say, what was this guy proposing?
Well, that's the thing.
If he thought neither of them are correct.
Yeah,
theory?
I don't really know if he has I think he's more shooting holes in all the other theories and saying it can't be any of these.
Wrong.
The French government should do an investigation into what it was.
Right.
But it could have been the CIA. But in the 50s, would they do it on in a French town, or would they just do it to some black people? I would have thought they would have done it to black people.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. So, you know, less likely to be the CIA, because you'd have to fly out to France with your LSD.
It is a
bit far. Get
that
through past TSA. Yeah. It's not very easy. And
then I think there was TSA in 1951.
Also, it's a seat. They could just charter a plane.
CIA,
yeah. So, you know, I don't know how likely any of these things are. Mm. It is kind of just a bit of a mystery, but it does fit ergot poisoning fairly well. So it very well could have been that. We just don't
know. Sounds likely.
The other thing as well is that you have this thing, what is it called again? Ergosis?
Ergotism.
Ergotism, which is like it's an infection, right? And I had...
Oh, no.
Oh?
Well, I don't think it's so much an infection as it's a reaction to eating.
All I mean is that
rye.
So his argument in this book you're saying is that it doesn't perfectly match the symptoms of having taken LSD, but firstly, it's lysergic acid.
Yeah.
And secondly, you've ingested something that is itself infested with a fungus, and like for example, being ill causes you to hallucinate. I had appendicitis when I was 8, and I was hallucinating all over the place. Little creatures climbing along the floor, coming to get me, all sorts of stuff. I can't remember this, but my mum told me what I was saying was happening.
Just from a fever?
From appendicitis.
Oh, from appendicitis, sorry.
Yeah, well, from untreated appendicitis. My doctor said, nope, not appendicitis, and sent me home. And my mum, luckily, is a nurse and went, yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
You go back there, Luke, and you tell him that it's appendicitis.
So all I mean is that because they've ingested something that's not necessarily healthy for them, they could also be hallucinating for other reasons other than LSD. And it's not even LSD. It's a different compound that's not yet been turned into LSD.
Yeah, the thing is, I think it was probably... It makes sense that it would be something hallucinogenic if so many people were hallucinating. Because you wouldn't expect to see...
Okay.
So many people, even people that only had sort of mild reactions getting towards their hallucination stage.
Right.
I mean, I think it doesn't necessarily fit LSD exactly. Mm. So I doubt it would be the CIA getting involved. Ergotism makes a lot more sense. But again, it would be disingenuous of me to say it's absolutely 100% ergotism because we don't know. But yeah, that is the story for this week. What do you guys think? Do you want to maybe have some LSD-laced bread anytime soon?
Try it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Try. What do you
see what happens. I want to be chased by tigers.
Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. I am not Corey everywhere.
I am Jampkin everywhere.
I am Luke Cutforth everywhere.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Don't eat bread.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.